Try not to wake her up, Michael said, his voice soft. She wouldn't sleep. I think they drugged her. She was panicky, gabbling. I just got her quieted down a half an hour ago. I frowned a little and went into the tiny kitchen. Michael followed. I got a Coke out of the icebox, thought better of it with my stomach the way it was, and fetched a glass of water instead. I drank unsteadily. I've got hell to pay now, Michael. He frowned at me. What do you mean? What you do comes back to you, Michael. You know that much. Roll a stone and it rolls back upon you. Sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Michael lifted his eyebrows. I didn't realize you read much of the Bible. Proverbs always made a lot of sense to me, I said. But with magic, things like that come a lot sharper and cleaner than with other things. I killed people. I burned them. It's gonna come back to haunt me. Michael frowned and looked out at Lydia. The law of three, eh? I shrugged. I thought you told me once that you didn't believe in that. I drank some more water. I didn't. I don't. It's too much like justice to believe that what you do with magic comes back to you threefold. You've changed your mind? I don't know. All I know is that there's going to be justice, Michael. For those kids, for Susan, for what's happened to Charity, and your son. If no one else is going to arrange it, I'll damn well do it myself. I grimaced. I just hope that if I'm wrong, I can dodge karmic paybacks long enough to finish this. Harry, the ball was the whole point. It was Bianca's chance to put you down while staying within the terms of the Accords. She laid her trap and missed. Do you think she's going to keep pushing it? I gave him a look. Of course, and so do you. Or you wouldn't have played watchdog over here for the past day. Good point. I raked my fingers through my hair and reached for the Coke. My stomach be damned. We'll just have to decide what our next move is going to be. Michael shook his head. I don't know. I need to be with Charity and my son. If he's sick, he needs me near him. I opened my mouth to object, but I couldn't. Michael had already risked his neck for me more than once. All right, I said. I thank you for your help. He nodded and looked down as though ashamed. Harry, I'm sorry. I've done all that I could, but I'm not as young as I used to be, and I lost the sword. Maybe I'm not the one to hold it after all. Maybe this is how he is telling me that I need to be home right now. I'll be there for my wife and my children. I know, I said. It's all right. Do what you think is best. He touched the bandage on his forehead lightly. If I had the sword, maybe I'd feel differently. He fell quiet. Go on, I said. Look, I'll be all right here. The council will probably give me some help. If they didn't hear about people who died in the fire, that is. If they heard about that, that I'd broken the first law of magic, they'd take my head off my neck faster than you could say capital offense. Just go, Michael. I'll take care of Lydia. All right, he said. A thought occurred to me, and I didn't hear what Michael said next. Harry? He asked. Harry, are you all right? I'm having a thought, I said. Something feels off about this to me. Doesn't it to you? He just blinked at me. I shook my head. I'll think about it. Make some notes. I'll try to sort this mess out. I started toward the door. Come on, I'll let you out. Michael followed me to the door, and I had my hand on the knob when the door abruptly rattled under several sharp blows that could only loosely be construed as knocking. I shot him a glance over my shoulder, and without a word, he retreated to the fireplace and picked up a poker that had been lying against some of the logs. The tip glowed orange-red. When a fresh barrage hammered against my door, I jerked it open, slipping to one side. A slender figure of medium height stumbled into the room. He wore a leather jacket, jeans, tennis shoes, and a Cubs ball cap. He carried a rifle case made of black plastic, and he smelled of sweat and feminine perfume. You! I snarled. I grabbed the man's shoulder before he could get his balance and spun his shoulders hard, sending him back against the wall. I drove my fist hard at his mouth, felt the bright smack thud of impact on my knuckles. I grabbed the front of his jacket in both hands and with a snarl hurled him away from the wall to the floor of my living room. Michael stepped forward, put his work boot on the back of the intruder's neck, and pressed the glowing tip of the poker close to his eyes. Thomas released the rifle case and jerked his hands up, pale fingers spread. "Jesus!" he gasped. His full lower lip had split and was smeared with something pale and pinkish, not much like human blood. I glanced down at my knuckles, and they were smeared with the same substance. It caught the light of the fire and refracted an opalescent sheen. "Dresden," Thomas stammered. "Don't do anything hasty." I reached down and plucked the hat off his head, letting his dark hair spill out and down in an unkempt mane. "Hasty? Like maybe turn traitor on you all of a sudden and let a bunch of monsters eat your girlfriend?" His eyes rolled back to Michael and then over to me. "God, wait. It wasn't like that. You didn't see all that happened afterwards. At least shut the door and listen to me." I glanced over at the open doorway, and after hesitation, shut it. No sense in leaving my back open just to be contrary. "I don't want to listen to him, Michael." "He's a vampire," Michael said, "and he betrayed us. He's probably come here to try to trick us again." "You think we should kill him?" "Before he hurts someone else," Michael said. His tone was flat, disinterested. Scary, actually. I shivered a little and drew my robe close around me a little more tightly. "Look, Thomas," I said, "I've had a really bad day, and I only woke up a half an hour ago. You're adding to it." "We're all having a bad day, Dresden," Thomas said. "Bianca's people were after me all day and night, too. I just barely got here without getting myself torn to pieces." "The night is young," I said. "Give me one good reason why I shouldn't kill you like the lying, treacherous vampire sleaze you are." "Because you can trust me," he said. "I want to help you." I snorted. "Why the hell should I believe you?" "You shouldn't," he said. "Don't. I'm a good liar, one of the best. And I'm not asking you to believe me. Believe the circumstances. We have a common interest." I scowled. "You're kidding me." He shook his head and offered me a wry smile. "I wish I was. I thought I would get the chance to help you out once Bianca had taken her eyes off me, but she double-crossed me." "Well, Thomas, I don't know how new you are to all of this, but Bianca is what we colloquially refer to as a bad guy. They do that. That's one of the ways you can tell they're bad guys." "God save me from idealists," Thomas muttered. Michael growled, and Thomas shot him a hopeful, puppy-like smile. "Look, both of you, they have Dresden's woman." I took a step forward, my heart fluttering. "She's alive?" "For now," Thomas said. "They've got Justine, too. I want her back. You want Susan back. I think we can make a deal. Work together. What do you say?" Michael shook his head. "He's a liar, Harry. I can tell just by being this close to him." "Yes, yes, yes," Thomas said. "I confess to it, but at the moment it isn't part of my agenda to lie to anyone. I just want her back." "Justine?" Thomas nodded. "So he can keep on draining the life out of her," Michael said. "Harry, if we aren't going to kill him, let's at least put him out." "If you do," Thomas said, "you'll be making a huge mistake. And I swear to you, by my own stunning good looks and towering ego, that I'm not lying to you." "Okay," I said to Michael. "Kill him." "Wait," Thomas shouted. "Dresden, please. What do you want me to pay you? What do you want me to do? I don't have anywhere else to go." I studied Thomas's expression. He looked weary, desperate, beneath the cool facade he was barely holding on to. And beneath the fear, he looked resigned, determined. "Okay," I said. "It's all right, Michael. Let him up." Michael frowned. "Are you sure?" I nodded. Michael fell back from Thomas, but he kept the poker gripped loosely in one hand. Thomas sat up, running his fingers lightly over his throat, where Michael's boot had left a dark mark, and then touched his split lip and winced. "Thank you," he said quietly. "Look in the case." I glanced at the black rifle case. "What's in it?" "A deposit," he said. "A down payment for your help." I quirked an eyebrow and leaned over the case. I ran my fingertips lightly over it. There was no spiny buzz of energy around it to herald the sorceress booby trap, but a good one would be hard to notice. There was something inside, though, something that hummed quietly, a silent vibration of power that ran through the plastic and into my hand, a vibration I recognized. I flicked open the latches on the rifle case, fumbling in my hurry, and swung it open. Amaracus lay gleaming against the gray foam inside the case, unmarked from the inferno at Bianca's townhouse. "Michael," I said quietly. I reached out and touched the blade's hilt again. Still it buzzed with that quiet, deep power, at once reassuring and intimidating. I withdrew my fingers. Michael paced over to the case and leaned down, staring at the sword. His expression wavered and became difficult to read. His eyes filled with tears, and he reached a broad, scarred hand down to the weapon's hilt. He took it in one hand and closed his eyes. "It's all right," he said. "They didn't hurt it." He blinked his eyes open and looked upwards. "I hear you." I glanced up toward my ceiling and said, "I hope you meant that in the figurative sense, because I didn't hear anything." Michael smiled and shook his head. "I was weak for a while. The swords are a burden. Power, yes, but at a price. I thought that perhaps the loss of the sword was his way of telling me it was time to retire." He ran his other hand over the twisted metal nail set into the blade at the weapon's crossguard. "But there's still work to be done." I glanced up at Thomas. "You say they've got Susan and Justine, huh? Where?" He licked his lips. "The townhouse," he said. "The fire ruined the back of the house, but only the exterior. The inside was fine, and the basement was untouched." "All right," I said. "Talk." Thomas did, laying out facts in rapid order. After the havoc of the fire, Bianca and the court had retreated into the mansion. Bianca had ordered the other vampires to each carry one of the helpless mortals out. One of them had brought Susan. When the police and fire crews had arrived, most of the action was over, and the fire marshal had been worked up into a lather over the deaths. He'd gone inside to speak to Bianca and come out calm and collected and ordered everyone to pack up and leave, that he was satisfied that it had been a terrible accident and that everything was over. After that, the vampires had been able to relax and enjoy their guests. "I think they're turning some of them," Thomas said. "Bianca has the authority to allow it now. And they lost too many in the fight in the fire. I know Mauvra took a couple and took them with her when she left." "Left?" I asked. Thomas nodded. "She skipped down just after sunset, where it is. A couple of hungry new mouths to feed, you know."
"And how do you know all of this, Thomas? Last I heard, Bianca's people were trying to kill you."
He shrugged. "There's more to a good liar than meets the eye, Dresden. I was able to keep an eye on things for a while."
"Okay," I said. "So they've got our people at the manor house. We just need to get inside, get them, and get out."
Thomas shook his head.
"We need something else. She's brought in mortal security, guards with machine guns. It would be a slaughter."
"That's the spirit," I said with a grim smile.
"Where in the house are they keeping the captives?"
Thomas looked at me rather blankly for a moment. Then he shook his head. "I don't know."
"You've known everything so far," Michael said. "Why are you drying up on us now?"
Thomas gave the knight a wary look.
"I'm serious. I haven't seen any more of that house than you two."
Michael frowned.
"Even if we do get in, we can't go blundering around checking every broom closet. We need to know about the inside of the house."
Thomas shrugged.
"I'm sorry. I'm tapped."
I waved a hand.
"Don't worry. We just need to talk to someone who has seen the inside of the house."
"Capture a prisoner?" Michael asked.
"I don't know how much luck we'd have with that."
I shook my head and glanced over to the sleeping figure of Lydia, who hadn't stirred in all that time.
"We just need to talk to her. She was inside. She might have some useful insights for us in any case. She's got a gift for it."
"Gift?"
"Cassandra's tears. She can see bits of the future." I got dressed and we gave Lydia another hour or so. Thomas went into the bathroom to shower while I sat down in the living room with Michael.
"What I can't figure," I said, "is how we managed to get out of there so easily."
You call that easy?
Michael said.
I grimaced.
Maybe.
I would have expected them to come after us by now, or to have sent the nightmare to get us.
Michael frowned, rolling the hilt of his sword between his two hands as though it were a golf club.
I see what you mean.
He was quiet for a minute, and then he said, You really think the girl will be of help?
I hope so.
At that moment, Lydia started coughing. I moved to her side and helped her drink some water. She seemed groggy, though she started to stir.
Poor kid, I commented to Michael.
At least she got a little sleep. I don't think she's had any for days. Michael's words froze me solid. I started to push myself away from Lydia, but her fingers reached out and dug into the sweater I was wearing. I jerked against them, but she held me, easily, not at all moved. The pale girl opened her sunken eyes, and they were flooded with blood, all through the whites, scarlet. She smiled, slow and malicious. She spoke, and her voice came out a low, harsh sound, totally unlike her natural tones, alien and malevolent.
You should have kept her from sleeping, or killed her before she woke.
Michael started to his feet. Lydia rose, and with one arm she lifted me clear of the ground, bloody eyes glaring up at me with wicked exultation.
I've waited long for this.
The alien voice, that of the nightmare, purred.
Goodbye, wizard.
And the slender girl flung me like a baseball at the stone of my fireplace.
Some days, it just doesn't pay to get out of bed.